Hello and welcome back to another episode of the First and Ten podcast. It is another special this time. Ollie back down at Jaguars practice again. So we hear today from all the coordinators. We've got Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator. We've got Mike Caldwell, the defensive coordinator. And then we've got Heath Farwell, the special teams coordinator. Got all three of them talking about how they're preparing for this week and, you know, the differences in preparing for this game compared to others. So, thanks to Ollie for getting all of this. And, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, depending on what time we get back. We'll be definitely at the Bills and hopefully back at the Jaguars, but it sort of depends on timings. But we'll definitely have stuff from the Bills tomorrow. Hear from all them, all the big names there, Josh Allen, etc. Make sure you tune in for that. We'll be back with a special preview of the London game that we're recording live at that Bills practice. Make sure you listen and subscribe and all of that stuff. But yeah, cheers, and I'll see you next time.
Third down. Process?
It's a process, yeah. And there's a lot of different things that kind of come up here and there, whether it be situation in the game, play call, protection, route running, catching, throwing, all. There's a lot that comes into play with that. And it's certainly an area we need to get better at. And we're continuing to put in the time to continue to trust our process with how we game plan for these things, how we scheme them, how we rep them, teach them, all of that. But it's definitely something we need to improve on.
You focus on doing what you do better, or do you try to get creative and come up with different ways to get it done?
There's always a combination of those sort of factors. So doing what we do, or things we know really well inside and out, but also things that put our guys in a position to do what they do well, but also attack a defense and how they want to play a certain situation, because every defense is different. So every game plan changes a little bit, and there's sort of a give and take of just do what we do, attack what they do, put everybody in the best position. So kind of a case by case.
Chris, when you face a team like Buffalo that scores a ton of points, and you know you'll have to score a ton of points to beat them, does that affect how you game plan for them?
It doesn't necessarily affect the way you game plan. Really, when you play teams like that, or how every single game, the game changes as it goes. So we always go in with the intent of trying to score every single drive. And then even like last week, all of a sudden you're in a 17-point lead. It changes the way you want to play the game. So you adjust the game plan within the game based on the situation you're in. So a team like Buffalo or these high-scoring offenses that you play, when it's high-scoring, you know you have to match, you may have to be aggressive in the way you play. You may have to play a ball control style game just to keep them at bay for a little bit, give your defense a little break. So again, it always kind of changes. Obviously, you know you're going into a game with the plan. You're going to need to score maybe more than you play other teams that tend to run the ball higher when they play offense.
You're coming against the Bills defense. There's a great defensive line, great depth there. How do you game plan for a defensive line that can rotate and keep guys coming in and being fresh all game long?
Yeah, they do a great job of subbing, pretty much kind of hockey subbing their defensive line, where it's the whole two unit comes in, the one unit gets a break, they're rolling guys in and out. They've got a lot of really good players, be it defensive tackle or defensive end. It's certainly something you try to plan against. Maybe you have times where you want to change the tempo just to keep a certain group on the field or keep a certain group off the field. So there's certainly different ways you want to attack them when teams are doing something like that as you go.
Coach, it sounds like Von Miller's coming out to London. How do you prepare for a guy that we've not got any tape on for the last 12 months? We know how special a player he is.
Well, either fortunately or unfortunately, we have about 10 years of tape on him. So we know what type of player he's capable of being. So he's one of those guys that you have to be aware of. He's a game wrecker. And we would imagine, you know, if he's using bits and pieces, it's probably going to be a critical situation where he gets a chance to rush a passer. But if he's playing every single down, that's something you got to be aware of as well. So he's somebody that will pay the respect he's earned.
Press, what's the value of Walker Little over these last couple of years for you guys, from right tackle to left tackle to potentially left guard when that time comes?
Yeah, he's kind of a security blanket for us just within the staff, of knowing he can align in multiple spots. Being able to play left tackle and right tackle is not as easy as people think. You know, you're right hand down on the right side, left hand on the left side. So that's a little harder than I think people would realize. And then being able to move inside, where there's less space, everything's constricted, everything happens faster. A guy that can handle that and do that at a high level is really invaluable for us.
Do you guys feel like you might be on the verge with some of the, maybe some hidden stuff? I think it's three and outs combined in the last three games. You got a 13-play drive at the end of that one on Sunday. I think you're 60% on the other side of the field in enemy territory. Like, are those some of the things that when you're meeting, you're like, hey, a few more plays and we're where we want to be?
All those numbers I have no clue about. So that those are great. I appreciate those when they sound good. Yeah, it feels like we're starting to string things together. We really just want to be efficient. We want to be efficient and explosive. That's kind of one of our commandments that we talk about a lot as an offense. We've started to gain some traction in being efficient. We're still working to be explosive at certain times or when we need to be. Like I mentioned earlier, I think the dynamics of the game last week changed pretty quickly. Where all of a sudden you're up 17, a team that was, you know, in all honesty, was struggling to throw the ball at a certain time. So the game plan changes as you get into it, or the way you play the game changes, and I thought our guys did a great job of that. And ultimately it came down to the other day on Sunday, our players made plays. When you think of the first touchdown was Calvin and Trevor were hot. Trevor makes the guy miss, Calvin breaks it right off, we score a touchdown. Christian had some big third down conversions. Evan made some big plays on some keepers. Even Calvin drawing a DPI late in the game. You know, it wasn't a game that we were great running the ball, but a lot of things came off the run in terms of the movement and some of the play passes we hit earlier. It's a full system. So you look at it and say we didn't run the ball great, but a lot of the things that came off the run game were big for us.
Preston, the question was about the run. You got some traction against Houston, it felt like, and last week it seemed like short yardage, the whole thing,
yep,
et cetera. Do you feel like you're getting close there to where you want to be, or how would you assess it overall?
We think so. And again, the dynamics of the game changed where it didn't seem to benefit us to be super aggressive in trying to get to the perimeter and risking negative yardage plays. Some of it was, let's keep going straight ahead. You know, we'll pop some of these eventually, which we did, we didn't. We probably didn't in that game, but again, some movements came off. We get a 30-yard gain to Evan rolling off there on a run cell where their defense is committed to it. We go into the game knowing that's a really good front. You have a lot of calls that you don't get to just because, again, when you're sitting on a 17-point lead and the dynamics of the game change, you play the game a little differently than you planned to when it was 0-0 and you had four quarters ahead of you. So there are things we need to continue to get better at as we move forward.
Last one right here.
Coach, we saw Blake Hartz come in a lot of the game last week in kind of these jumbo packages. Why was that important for the way you went to play, and is that almost the role he's carved out in this team?
Yeah, and Blake's similar to Walker, a guy that we have a lot of trust in, can do a lot of different things. So whether it be playing guard, which he played through training camp, playing tackle, which he's kind of done for us, and even being available to play tight end there in certain situations. And when you play Atlanta and a guy, Calais Campbell, sitting there on the edge, and you kind of want to match some brute force with some brute force right there, maybe a little better than some of our tight ends give us. So we felt like Blake gave us an advantage in that particular matchup. Again, it's a case-by-case, game-by-game basis of when we'll utilize things like that, but we felt like that would give us an advantage or a better matchup than we would have had with our tight ends doing the same thing.
Thanks,
Preston.
Hey, Mike, when you've got a quarterback like that, who, like Josh Allen, who is so big and so powerful, that if you get into third down and two, you know, you put yourself at a distinct disadvantage. Does it put more focus on keeping him in second and long and third and long to try to take away the run game from him?
Well, that's the plan all the time, is keep teams in at our advantage in third and longs and second and longs. But you're right, a big guy like that really great runner, you know, it's going to be tough. So we just go out there and try to understand our game plan and focus on keeping them in those situations.
There are a lot of quarterbacks in this league who could run, and we've seen plenty of them. But this guy in particular, it's the combination of size and speed. What's your tackling plan? You know, up front, what's your mentality with a guy like that? How do you account for him?
Really, the skill set that he has, he's a great runner, he's a great thrower, so you have to get bodies around him. He's a big guy, but it's going to be hard for one guy to bring him down. So our plan is to get multiple guys around him and try to get him on the ground.
Like, I get the turnovers come in bunches, but since you've gotten here consistently on the top teams league and forcing turnovers, is that your identity, and how do you continue to sort of, emphasize that and be successful at it?
I think, I don't know if it's our identity, but we want it to be that. We focus on that a bunch. That's a topic in, you know, almost every meeting. We have to take the ball away from the offense and give it back to our offense. So that's one of the things that we like to do, and we've had a little bit of success here lately of getting them, so hopefully they'll continue to come.
Mike, Josh obviously has a couple of huge games, Josh Allen, your Josh Allen, this year. Did you see a lot of that brewing last year as well, and maybe didn't get to the sack numbers he's at right now in his first month, but almost there, and almost is this your expectation for him to deliver games like that?
Well, really, Josh has, he's had a bunch of pressures last year, and he went home and, you know, focused on really just finishing. And as a staff and as a, you know, a defense, we talked about finishing, and he's been able to finish early on in the season, and we look for that to continue. Josh put the work in the offseason. He's a talented player. He came back in. It's paying off for him and us.
How good is your secondary playing? It seems like the different guys making a play, safeties and corners, just about every week.
I think when you look at it, it all goes together, the pass rush and the secondary. And when the pass rush is doing well, the secondary is doing well. When the secondary is doing well, the pass rush is doing well. So it really goes together, and right now, you know, we're working pretty good together.
Just going back to what was being asked before about keeping them in kind of third and long situations, the one game we've seen Josh Allen struggle this season was when he did have a lot of pressure on him. How are your guys finding the balance this week between finishing like you talked about, but also knowing that if you go hard and he makes you miss, then suddenly that turns into a big play situation?
That's a good question. Really, you just have to go out there and execute your game plan. We understand we don't want to fly by the quarterback. We want to stay in his face and then just try to get him on the ground with multiple guys. You know, we want to be aggressive and try to attack him, and then also be smart with how we rush him. So there's a plan, and we'll go out there and see if we can execute on Sunday.
We saw that your Josh Allen was limited in practice yesterday. How serious is that, and how much will you have to adjust if he's not 100%?
Really, we really allowed the training staff to answer that question. He was out there, he was limited, but we let him handle all the questions.
Just back to the secondaries for a moment. How much is what they're doing, the familiarity with what you want them to do in year two of this system?
I think anytime you're in a system for a year, in a second year, you improve just because you've heard it over and over again, and we're preaching the same message. Now they're able to, you know, apply it better.
Ooh. Ooh.
He thought it was thunder. I know I didn't touch that. You gotta hit me back to that question.
I think you mostly answered it, but just, I mean, that familiarity with each other, with what you want from them, I mean, is that certainly pay off?
Yeah, it is. You can go back to just early on in the season, they're able to pass things off. Now, we did have a couple of bad plays against Texas where we reverted back. But again, it's a work in progress. The guys are continuing to get better, and we'll continue to progress like that way.
One more over here. Yeah.
Just in general for this week, being out here for the full week instead of having to fly, it's your second year of kind of doing these London games. Has this felt like a normal game week to a normal prep week, or have you still had to treat it differently considering those extra stresses of not being at home?
No, whichever week it was, last week we treated it like a normal week, and this week we're doing the same thing. Football players are, you know, they're creatures of habit, and you get into a habit, you want to do the same thing on Wednesday you did the last Wednesday. And we try to let our habits take over, and we're trying to keep our schedule the same, and that's where we go at it. We're here to play the Bills, and our schedule will be the same if we play three or four more games here.
How much has Cisco advanced in your scheme, and specifically, what is he doing better than he did last year?
I think really his understanding of the overall scheme is better, and he's catching the ball. He had opportunities last year, and he didn't come up with those catches. Now he's coming down with them, and, you know, he's a talented player. He has all the skill. He has a bunch of range back there, and you like the way he's attacking the ball, and he'll continue to do that.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
to get a feel for a team that's ready to play a big game, because you played in several big games with them. You feel like this team is ready for this caliber of a game, a big game early in the season? Do they have that big game mentality yet, or is that still evolving?
I think that's the best part about games like this. All these games prepare you down the stretch come January. So just to feel that adrenaline, a little bit of nervousness about you, the little gut feeling to you, pregame, all those little rituals come with the fans, the crowd. That's what makes it special. That's what makes it cool. But all that stuff helps us. And so, doing those couple Kansas City games for the last couple years, I think that's also prepared us. This is another one. This is another great game, great matchup. Come playoff time, we're going to need these games just for experience. So I think our guys are ready. They're excited about it. We've had a good week of practice so far. Like I said, that's the challenge. Let's see what we can do in a good matchup against a very good team.
Brandon, obviously a big game Sunday. Not surprising to you, but bounces back from a difficult week before.
Yeah, not surprising at all. He's a pro. He's been one of the best kickers in this league for a long time. And so I knew he'd get right back to what he does. He had a great week of practice last week. And then went on the field. He did exactly what he does every day. So that was not shocking. He controls it completely with great kicks. And then also something that probably doesn't get overlooked probably are those touchbacks he hit. It was something we potentially would have hung some kicks up and covered some kicks, but when you have that dynamic returner back there deep, not all kickers can guarantee touchbacks like he can do. And to be able to take that game completely out of it is a big thing for a coach to say, okay, that you take that portion of the game out of it, as well as making all those kicks he did. He's a great player, so not surprised at all.
On that point, lining up for the 56-yarder, those of us who have been to Wembley a lot, they were maybe a little bit nervous about that on what's normally a football field, soccer field. So the decision to go for the long kick first and foremost, but also you're quite excited to be back on a more familiar surface this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think, we tried, the grass all week. We had a good feeling of what kind of turf, we were going to deal with there. Coming here as much as often as we do, I feel like we have a good understanding of what cleats we were going to wear that game. But just trusting, his leg strength, his ability to make those long kicks, our confidence never wavered. We were sending him out there. We talked about it on third down of sending him out there. So it wasn't a last second decision. There was no gray area with it. It's send him out there, do what he does best. That's why we got a kicker like that in the program. That was one of the reasons why we felt like we upgraded in the offseason. We got a guy that can make that kick when we needed those 3 points.
It's looking like Jamal Agnew is getting close to returning. Is it the plan to have him returning straight away and just returning kicks and punts straight away? And how much of a difference will he make in that department?
If he's active, he is definitely returning. I will not hold him off of that. The guys last week did a really good job. They filled in perfectly, did exactly what we wanted them to, gave the ball back to the offense, got some yards. Great. But Jamal Agnew is a special player. If he is active, he will be back deep. We'll see how he looks. Today's another day to kind of see what he can run around and do. As the week goes on, we'll have a better idea what it looks like. But yes, he will be back deep. I'm hoping he is back. He is very, very good, and he's a big part of our return game, of really flipping the field for our return game.
To piggyback on that point, how hard is it to do what Christian had to come in and do? Obviously, Jamal's usually there. He's inactive right before the game. I mean, you guys probably knew a little earlier, but then Parker goes down the first one. I mean, practicing it and then doing it in a game when you haven't done it in a bit, how difficult is that?
I mean, I think normally as a coach, you get your third return, you're pretty nervous. Not the case with me. Christian Kirk is a pro. He's caught punts for a long time in this league. Very consistent, catches the ball super clean. You trust him. You want the ball in his hands. So it was not a concern for me. It was just more the operation aspect of now that's the guy who plays as much offense as he does. Now he's got to return punts for. That's the biggest, concern with it. But as far as him ability-wise, not a concern at all. He's a pro. He's done it for a ton of years, and he's done it at a high level. It's just fortunate we have Agnew that we don't necessarily need him. Most teams, he'd be the punt returner, I'm sure.
Brandon, not to give away too much, but does Christian have full go when he's back there, or are you just telling him to catch the ball and be safe? Because I know he's not your main guy.
I mean, he's a ball player, so I think he's going to want to return. You know, as much as we want to protect him, probably protect him from himself, he's a ball player that wants to help the team, and there's yards to be had. If they have good space, he's going to try to score, yes. Yeah, no, he's not going to fair catch every time. He's going to return. That's what we do. That's what he does.
Brandon mentioned on Sunday to us the operation, snap, hold, obviously kick. From the outside looking in, it looks like snap, hold, kick anywhere in football. But what are the nuances of that operation when you do have a new guy who's been somewhere else for a long time, and does that take some time in live action to kind of get under?
I mean, the obvious is the mechanics of it. What is the trigger? Is it off your hand? Is it the face mask? Is it the hand coming off the ground? There's different triggers that they use. So it's all timing. What are they going off? They change the cadence all the time. Obviously to get the field goal block team off a little bit. But it's all a timing aspect. Where is the ball caught? Where are the laces? Because the reality is, if those laces are off this much, those kickers know that and see that and feel that. So it's real precise. It's down to, a quarter inch makes the difference in the kicking game. And so that is a big deal. So the more reps they can get, the more consistent they can get, the operation gets cleaner, the better the ultimate result of him making kicks. And that's part of the process we've been working through. Logan was out for a couple days in the training camp. Ross missed a ton of time. So we were kind of making up for some of that time, but they've really just picked it up where they left off and really just, I think they're starting to get in their own. The last couple weeks of practice, we've had some great sessions, and this week is no different. We've had some great sessions. So I'm expecting good results come Sunday. Whatever you typically see in practice, I think that's typically what you see in a game, and that's kind of what I've come to realize. And when you're consistent like they have been the last few weeks, we're getting in the right stride. I think we're getting in the right mode.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.